Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The threat of toxic masculinity and the so-called manosphere is really concerning, especially when you see research showing that more than a third of young men who watch masculinity influencers actually act on that advice. But what exactly is the manosphere and what is toxic masculinity? What are the impacts that come with it and how do you combat it? Joining me now, Richard Hogan, family therapist and columnist with the Irish Examiner. He's on the line. And in studio with me is Dylan Hand, our reporter here in News Talk. Good morning and welcome to you both. I'll go to you, Dylan, first of all. You're in an age group, early 20s. You would be, if you like, a target for this kind of thing.
Yeah, I think definitely, especially in the age of social media, you have influencers who kind of purport this misogynistic and homophobic content online under this kind of guise of self-improvement and to express your manhood. And it's kind of targeting a vulnerable audience. Obviously, between 12 to 15, I'd say, young men in particular, they're quite malleable. They try to emulate what they see online, and they're seeing these people that have purported all of this falsehood, essentially, this false narrative, and they want to emulate that because they're seeing hundreds of thousands of clicks.
Now, these are kids who've not really lived at all. I mean, many of them have never had a girlfriend, never had a partner of any kind in life, and yet they're being instructed as to what is male behaviour.
Absolutely. I think I can speak now as a 21-year-old. I knew myself particularly till I was about 18 years of age. These children are growing up. You're not developed mentally until you're about 20. I think 25, I think, is what they're saying lately. Mm-hmm. You don't know yourself when you're at this age. You're vulnerable. And this content is targeting. It's been purported also by the companies that are allowing this to take place.
Now, you've observed the reaction of that cohort a couple of times in recent days and weeks. Give me some examples of how it manifests itself.
So back in August, there was this video going around on the internet of this young Australian man who was playing college football in America. His name was Archie Brown. And he did a post-match interview where he was quite open. He was honest about his difficulties leaving his family behind at home. And during the course of this interview, he wore his heart on his sleeve. He broke down and burst into tears. And you read this and you're expecting support from, you know, the age cohort that I'd associate myself with, that kind of 18 to 25-year-olds. And you're seeing laughing emojis and you're seeing snowflake emojis and get a grip of yourself. And you're also being told to man up, you know, when it's the converse of what he's doing, because he is manning up. He's shown his emotion, where people should be building him up, but instead they're tearing him down.
He's being authentic.
Yes, absolutely. I think authenticity these days, for people that maybe feel they can't express themselves, they tear these people down, and it's obviously not fair.
Now, talk to me about Oasis and the impact they had.
So, of course, many people might have seen their TikTok that people were crying and they were emotional. You know, when you see a band that maybe you've wanted to see for the last decade, they've been away and they come back, it can hit you when you're there and it's always building up to it. You've bought the tickets, the time leading up to it, maybe you're not feeling it. And then when you're there in the stadium and you're looking at them, and then it hits you with this emotion. And then again, posting videos online of yourself crying. And again, you're seeing these snowflake comments and get a grip of yourself. What are you crying for? It's a band. Like, what are you crying for? And it's interesting, as I said, they're like, these people are trying to, because they can't express themselves. That's my opinion. I don't think these people can express themselves. So when they see people being expressive, they tear them down for it.
Now, what about the other elements that are found in this toxic masculinity? There's homophobia can be evident and misogyny. So hating women and hating gays.
I think for a lot of people, they don't know themselves growing up. I'd associate with this kind of a younger audience in general. Maybe this kind of pack mentality of when you're in these group chats, let's say, and these jokes are being made, the homophobic jokes and misogynistic jokes, and people feel like they can't comment on it, because if you see something, you don't want to call out your friend, let's say, for making these jokes. And, you know, you're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. And unfortunately, being a bystander is therefore being a part of the problem.
Now, we see it at the highest levels. We know when Donald Trump was caught on tape talking about grabbing women by their genitals, that I think his wife may even have coined the phrase locker room talk. I mean, this business that men will be men and will converse in a certain way in front of each other that they would never do in front of females.
Absolutely. I think growing up, I was heavily involved in sport. I've been in these locker rooms, these dressing rooms, where you're hearing conversations that you're saying, honestly, obviously, I can't repeat them now on the radio, but they could never see the light of day. And unfortunately, now in the modern age, it's not confined to the dressing room anymore, because the dressing room has a group chat, and this group chat is accessed 24 hours of the day. And people aren't calling each other out for it.
The question some people say, like, in what's the harm when you got a group of lads having the crack together and, you know, maybe talk about someone that they saw across a bar last night or whatever, what do you think of her, that kind of talk. When does that become harmful?
Well, it's always harmful.
Because if it's private to that group and the object of their lust or whatever never knows about it, nor does that do any of her friends, if it's confined, but is that harmful?
The problem is it's harmful because if you allow people to make these comments and there's no one to self-correct, if they're not self-correcting, there's no one there to add this love and correction. You're supposed to, you know, for your friends and your family, if somebody makes these jokes, you're just supposed to be the person that's given this love and correction to show them that this isn't right. And if they don't ever get told that this isn't right, they think that's the right way to live. And then that's when you have all these problems, when you're hearing all these stories about people afraid to get into taxis because of flirtatious taxi drivers, when you have people making these jokes in group chats, and when you have people catcalling women on the street. That's where it all stems from, and you have to hit it at the root source, otherwise it's going to develop into a larger problem.
And what about the notion, which is sometimes advanced, that the girls are taking over everything? There was a time when, you know, the lads were good at this and good at that, and now the girls are good at everything.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair, but at the same time, you can't look, if we look in the past and we look at these kind of patriarchal gender roles, that they're also being weaponized now against young people. This is what's being purported by these influencers on young people, and they're using it under the guise of self-improvement. And, you know, to be a man, you have to do this, to be a man, XYZ. It's not correct.
Yeah. How do they monetize their activity, these influencers? I mean, they must be making something out of it. They've got, you know, millions of followers, perhaps. Are they extracting cash?
Yeah, well, it all comes from ad revenue, obviously. The longer somebody's watching a video, the higher their AdSense goes, and then they're making money off this. So they're trying to keep people engaged for as long as possible. So they're trying to give this message to ears that will listen. And obviously, I'd say young people in particular that aren't fully self-aware, that can't tell the right from the wrong at that stage, they're the people that will listen.
All right, Dylan, thanks for that. Richard Hogan, author, family therapist and columnist with the Irish Examiner, listening to our conversation thus far. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Pat, and so, well articulated, Dylan.
Yeah, so it's trying to get a handle. We hear the terms manosphere being tossed around and toxic masculinity. Perhaps from your perspective, you could give us a couple of definitions as to what it is.
Absolutely.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuel.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
And can I just say to your point there that you asked Dylan about, you know, girls taking over and that they're getting good at it now. Girls were always good at it, Pat. They just didn't have the opportunity. And girls succeeding now should not be an idea of men's failure. It should be an idea that we're all succeeding, because that's a healthy kind of, you know, that's a healthy society. I have three daughters. I want them to succeed. I want them to think of themselves as powerful. And I want them to think, I don't want them to think of boys as toxic. And I suppose toxic masculinity, I don't know, Pat, if I think that is a very positive idea either. I wrote about this for many years because I could see it alienating boys and I could see it pathologizing very normal male behavior, you know, going to the gym, taking creatine, you know, whey powder, wanting to build muscle, wanting to play sports, wanting to win at sports. There's nothing toxic about that, Pat. And that's something we have to get better at doing, because I think that the phrase toxic masculinity, it allowed a vacuum for people like these bad actors like Tate and, you know, in recent times, Peterson and Ross and all these other characters that are on the manosphere. The manosphere, for people listening, is just a space where ideas get shared. Like Dylan said, it's where a lot of, you know, self-improvement, going to the gym, weightlifting, all those kind of ideas in there. But in there, couched in those very innocuous ideas, are ideas around gender, traditional roles, masculinity, femininity, you know, culture Marxism, you know, all this kind of idea. And I suppose it's trying to get to our boys in a positive way, Pat. It's such an important thing.
Here's
you know?
A text just popped up. As a man, I find the term toxic masculinity offensive because it demonizes an entire gender for the sins of a few. If male commentators were all using a term like toxic femininity, you'd be hearing howls from feminists.
Well, I've been saying this for a long time, Pat, because I could see it because I worked in schools and I could see how it alienated boys. And there's social mores and there's cultural, social constructionism, and there's ideas, traditional ideas about being a boy that and being male that we need to look at, for sure. But labeling it under toxic masculinity kind of suggested that there's something inherently malevolent about being a boy. And I talk in schools all the time, you know, Pat, and I say to them, one of my first things I say to boys is, it's so important to be a boy. You should celebrate being a boy. And, you know, they'll come up to me afterwards and say, that's the first time I've heard anything positive about being a boy. We want to celebrate our boys. In celebrating them, we make them healthy. We make them, you know, happy about being boys, as we should celebrate femininity also. And it's really important that we get those messages out there, because what I see in the manosphere is a real sense of confusion about what it is to be a boy or to be a man or to be male in this world. And these guys, these bad actors, they're just grifters, Pat. They're just making money off this isolation alone. Loneliness. What we have to do is get in there and show them what positive masculinity is and how to be a positive role model in the world.
Okay, now tell me when it becomes toxic. What are the elements? You say, you know, going to the gym, taking creatine, wanting to win at sports, all good. At what point does it veer into the toxicity?
Well, I suppose what you described there of Trump, you know, when you were saying, when, you know, when does locker talk become kind of like, you know, pathological? He's talking about sexual harassment there. He's talking about dominance and taking away consent from someone. That's where it becomes toxic. That's where, but that's not masculine. That's toxic behaviors. You know what I mean? That's a behavior that's apparent. And that's what we should be looking at when we're talking to our kids about behaviors and how to deal with rejection. I don't think we talk to our boys about that, how to deal with being broken up with and how that isn't a slight on your masculinity. And it's not against masculinity to be broken up with. I mean, we just need better programs in schools to teach, talk to our boys in a positive way, so that when they leave school, they have great positive ideas about, you know, being with somebody and celebrating themselves and being positive. I do think, Pat, pornography is in this conversation too. That's another aspect of this, you know, and it's foisted on our kids at a very young age, and particularly our boys, and it warps their sense of intimacy. I think we need to talk to the government and say, you know, get your act together, turn off this poison, because we're looking at, like, male, you know, gender-based violence. Turn off this poison that is warping our children's minds about intimacy. And they can do it if they want to, but they need to have the political will, and currently they don't.
Now, I don't want to be stereotyping, but girls do tend to develop rather faster than boys. I mean,
they do.
You look at a bunch of teenage 16-year-old boys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gawky and awkward, you know. 16-year-old girls, self-assured, many of them, and, you know, look like they own the earth. And there is the phenomenon of mean girls, too, that mean girls can be mean to guys.
Absolutely, yeah, of course. And that's just all of us. I mean, that's just behavior. That's not femininity. That's just behavior, you know. And it's about talking about that to girls as well, about behavior and about what we say hurts and how we can hurt people, but also about talking to boys about responding if a girl doesn't want to, you know, date you. That's okay too. And it's about having these conversations that we don't label them under toxic femininity or toxic positivity, because there's plenty of things that each gender do that are not healthy and not productive and actually are quite negative interventions for their emotions. And so we just need better schooling in there and better programs so that our kids are healthier. And I think that's the really important message, because I wrote about this 10 years ago, Pat, saying when we say toxic masculinity, and I got a lot of abuse about it, I said, when we said toxic masculinity, we're alienating our boys. And I actually said in an article, someone's going to come in here and sweep them up when they're alienated and they feel somehow pathological about, you know, being male. Someone's going to speak to them, and we won't want what that person speaks to them going into their ears and then arrived on the stage, Andrew Tate and all the others making money off them.
Now, the problem, I suppose, is that as a teenager, nuance may be absent. In other
Absolutely.
Words, the subtlety of how do I feel about one of my classmates who may be trans? How do I feel about one of my classmates who may be gay? How do I feel about, you know, anything you like, someone who's a goth, any of those things? And generally, it's black and white. You know, either you love them or you hate them.
Yeah, and it isn't.
So it's trying to get the nuance. How do you educate nuance?
Exactly. You're right there. And I think that's where we have, you know, but we need better education. But, you know, Pat, I did a PhD in inclusion. And I hope we get to a situation where we don't think about kids under those labels, you know, because I work with them all the time in my clinic, and they come in at 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, in around those ages. And wouldn't it be great if we got to a society that we didn't think about, how do I have to think about the guy that's trans? You know, I'm thinking about a human being sitting in my class. You know, wouldn't it be better if we got there? That would be really, you know, that's a systemic change in how we think about people, rather than casting them under a label of, like, you know, these binary labels, because people's sexuality or pattern reality is far more complex than we like to talk about and we like to put into the binary, where it is not. And it's about having conversations that allow us to kind of explore all of our feelings there. And it's okay to be confused about that. And we shouldn't be told that there's something inherently wrong with us for being confused about how someone is or how someone, but it's about exploring that in a healthy way, that we're not castigating or we're throwing, you know, the word gay gets used a lot. It's not even used for homosexuality anymore. You know, it's used for like something being dumb or stupid, but there's a real pejorative in that, you know, to be gay, or that's gay, playing rugby is gay, playing tennis is gay. We need to kind of help our language, because that language really impacts on how we talk about each other.
Now, it's arguable that we've come a bit of a way. I mean, when I was going to school, nicknames were everywhere.
Absolutely.
You know, unkind nicknames. If someone was a little bit on the skinny side or a little bit on the chubby side, they got nicknamed accordingly. Or someone wearing glasses with specky four eyes. You know, and Absolutely. The names we had for our teachers were quite descriptive, but quite unkind.
Absolutely. I mean, I went to school in the 80s, you know, maybe a couple of years down the road from you. It was still pretty brutal. And you did get labeled like that. And we have moved a long way, but there's still an awful lot way for us to go. And, you know, I suppose we've tried to overcorrect too in some ways. And we've had a massive correction, which has brought, I suppose, the likes of Trump into power. And what we need to do is try to meet a middle ground where that we can, you know, have less of that type of labeling, because, you know, labels don't predict the future, Pat. They write them. And so the less we label our children, the less we label our friends, and the less that we throw that stuff out, I think the healthier we would all be, and the more we would enjoy our lives, and we would enjoy the miracle of our lives.
We're asking people, though, sometimes to step up. Dylan, for example,
we are.
Some of the ads we see, you know, when you hear an off-colour story being told about someone, we're expected to step up and say, hang on a second, you're not allowed to say that. That is difficult.
It is definitely difficult. I think the hardest thing is to talk to people that you know, first of all, but it's harder to talk to, you know, to condemn someone that you don't know, because at the same time, it's easy to, for other people that are, you know, engaging in this kind of toxic masculinity where they're commenting on people they don't know. But you also, if you want to condemn someone you don't know, it can be quite tricky as well.
It can be dangerous.
Very dangerous. It can be. It can get yourself into a lot of trouble. But, you know, it's important for the people that you're friends with to correct them and to allow them to know that they're in the wrong. If you feel like someone is infringing on what you have at your own core belief, that you let them know that they are infringing on it.
Now, you mentioned earlier that a lot of these influences are maybe not deliberately targeting the 12 to 15-year-olds, but those are the people who are logging on. What do you do? I mean, is it down to the schools again?
I think education is definitely a big part of it. Like, I'm not long out of the education system now, and one thing I can say is, we kind of briefly touched on it there, is young men in particular, they're competitive. This is where toxic masculinity for me stems from. It's the competitive nature of young men, be that girls, be it muscles, money, whatever it is. That's the competitiveness of it. And you have to nearly trained that out of people, that masculinity in itself is showing emotion. It's showing strength for who you are. It's not showing strength for who you want yourself to be perceived as. And that's where the issue lies.
A final question for you, Richard. Are girls being conditioned then to admire certain traits in, observable traits in boys that really are not that admirable?
Well, this is what Andrew Tate is saying, that girls, this is a gynocentric world, and that girls are hypergamous, which means that they love alpha males. And that's, this is literally his message, and that these feminists are trying to trick you and turn you into an incel.
But are girls being indoctrinated with that philosophy as well?
I think there's, what I'd noticed in my clinic there, Pat, there, you know, an awful lot, a rise, and working with teenagers, that there would be a rise in girls arcing back to more traditional male attributes of masculinity. I would say there has been a rise in that, in my experience. And I just to go back on Dylan's point, there's nothing wrong with being competitive, Dylan. I want my daughters to be competitive too. And I think we've knocked that out of girls, that they shouldn't be competitive, and somehow to be competitive makes you masculine. That's rubbish. My daughter's playing GA. I want her to be competitive and I want her to win. And, you know, and I want her to be able to handle when she loses too. And there's nothing masculine about that. That's just, you know, your child to be ambitious. And that, I think that's a really important thing. I think we have somehow pathologized competitiveness as well. That's rubbish.
Well, tip of the iceberg, our discussion so far. Richard Hogan, author, family therapist, columnist with the Irish Examiner, and Dylan Hand, reporter here in News Talk. Thank you both very much.
News Talk. The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.